To be honest, Father, I never expected anybody but myself to be interested in doing this. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just didn't want to be embalmed, so right. That's what got me into it.
Even though it is something we all have experienced or certainly will experience in various ways and at various times, it's usually the last thing we want to talk about. Our feature conversation today is about death and burial. And wait a minute, just before you push that button or turn that dial and say, yes, I'm one of those who doesn't want to talk about it, give us a little more of your time, please. I think you will change your mind and end up hearing a lot of very important information, some of which you've perhaps never thought of before.
When people do this, it is such a simple thing. It's what we do for babies every day.
Right, right.
You know, with us baby boomers, it's what we do for our parents almost every
sure.
day.
Sure.
But it's our last opportunity to serve this person. And it's a very powerful, powerful service.
Welcome to this week's edition of Come Receive the Light from the Orthodox Christian Network. I'm Mike Trout, and our host is Father Christopher Metropoulos. OCN, or the Orthodox Christian Network, is a media outreach that seeks to look at every subject we talk about or write about through the lens of the Orthodox Christian faith. And to know more about this ancient Christian faith, I encourage you to begin at our website, myocn.net. Actually, God's Word, or the Bible, is the very best place to begin, but you will find questions answered and directions given for growth at myocn.net. There is a world of spiritual encouragement that will open up to you when you go to that website, myocn.net. Speaking of growth, we'll end our program today with a quick conversation about a couple of new books that are written and illustrated just for children and are tools for parents to use in the spiritual teaching process. But first, our feature conversation.
Deacon Mark Barna is the author of A Christian Ending, a handbook for burial in the ancient Christian tradition. It was published in 2011 by Divine Ascent Press out of San Francisco, California. He offers a practical and, I feel, insightful understanding and direction to burial preparation of a body. He works for the South Carolina Port Authority by day, but serves as a deacon at the Holy Ascension Orthodox Church in Mount Pleasant, South Carolina, on the weekends. Welcome, Deacon Mark. Nice to have you in the program.
Thank you, Father Chris. Good to be here.
Well, I've got to ask you the first question. I mean, what is it that inspired you to write A Christian Ending, a handbook for burial in the ancient Christian tradition?
I'm not really sure that inspired is the right word. I just always felt that embalming and the whole American funeral tradition was somehow askew. It didn't make sense to me. It gave me the willies.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm from an early age, and I just didn't think that I wanted to be embalmed. And over the years, things kind of just came around, information came to me, until finally I was working in a hospital years ago and saw a training tape for hospital personnel on how to care for a Jewish patient who died in the hospital.
Hmm.
And I saw that and said, well, that looks like what we should be doing. And that spurred me to look into it further. And I collected a lot of information and found out that, yes, natural burial is perfectly legal. It is a very orthodox manner of handling death and a deceased body. And I was speaking with my priest about it, and I said, you know, someone should write a book about this. And he said, well, you do it.
That's right. I was going to say that. That's usually what happens when you volunteer to do something, right?
Or
you want someone else to volunteer to do it. Well,
right.
Let me ask you this. I mean, what's the biggest misunderstanding of the modern burial practices?
The biggest misunderstanding is that most people think that the use of a funeral director, a professional person to prepare a body for burial and handle the funeral arrangements, is required by law.
Mm-hmm.
And it is not. There are only 8 states in the United States where any participation by a professional funeral director is required. And the second part of that answer would be that also embalming is required by law. And there again, embalming is not required by law. In 19 of the 50 states, it is never required. And a subset to that answer would be in many states, we're told that a body must be embalmed if it's not going to be buried within the first 24 hours after mm-hmm. death.
Yes.
And that is not true in any state.
Interesting.
It was true in one state, I think it was Minnesota, up until 2010, and then Minnesota repealed that law that they had on their books. So, of course, all laws are open to change, and people need to be aware of the laws in their own state. But the truth is you do not have to have a professional funeral director. You don't have to pay high prices to have someone buried.
All right, let me ask you this then. You used the term embalming, and I think mm-hmm. most people have no idea what that entails. I don't need the gruesome details here, but I think we need to tell people what is embalming, because usually when you go and you go to the funeral home and you say, okay, you have to pay for the embalming. What is that? What happens?
Well, they take the body into the embalming room and drain the blood and other fluids out of it. And again, we won't go into the details of the other things that are done there. And then replace the blood and body fluids with preservative fluids. Formaldehyde was the very first, and most people are familiar with formaldehyde. There are many more chemicals now and much more sophisticated chemicals, but in a nutshell, that's what it is. And the claim is that these preservative chemicals will keep a body preserved, and different people make different claims.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact of the matter is that embalming is only designed to actually maintain a body in its more or less present condition for 3 to 5 days. Once it's in the ground, the body is going to decompose no matter how many chemicals you put into it.
Mm-hmm. And the process, again, of embalming, yes, you drain the fluid. I want our listeners to be aware of this. My understanding is they also go in with some kind of a tool and puncture the organs. Is that correct?
That's my understanding as well. I've never actually seen an embalming. I've done reading about it. But yes, it's a terrible insult to the human body, what is done in that process.
Let's talk briefly about the process of cremation, because I know that that's become a it's become a topic of conversation, and primarily it's pushed around by the funeral industry, I believe, and they have a right to make money too. I'm not, deriding them, but we're going to talk facts here. And they'll say that a cremation is much less expensive than a funeral. So talk about the process of cremation so people know what they're dealing with here too.
Well, funeral directors were not in favor of cremation because it is less expensive. But once they found that people were interested in saving money on funerals, they found ways to increase the cost to where you're really not saving a whole lot of money. But the thing for Orthodox Christians to understand is that Orthodox Christians are completely opposed to cremation. It's not something that we do. It's never been approved of, and I hope never will be. It is in certain extreme circumstances and in certain places in the world where there's nothing else to be done. But the process, again, like embalming, it is a terrible insult to the human body, mm-hmm. which we consider sanctified. Any pacemakers or other battery-operated equipment that may be embedded in the body has to be removed so the batteries won't explode. The body's taken from the morgue or the home, wherever it may be, and taken to the funeral home or the crematory, where it's usually placed in a cardboard box, and the box is slid into a furnace. The furnace is heated between 1,400 to 2,100 degrees. And there are some videos on YouTube, if anyone's actually interested in watching this process. What I found interesting is it's not like an oven. It's a furnace, and the gas jets are actually pointed directly at the body, and the body is really seared by these flaming jets, and it takes about an hour per 100 pounds of body weight.
Mm. Wow.
So this could go on for 2 to 3 hours. Depending on the size of the body.
Mm-hmm.
after that period of time, what you're left with is a small pile of ashes and bones, because bones don't burn. They're calcium. They're completely dehydrated, of course, when at the end of this process, but they don't burn. So you have oftentimes a rib cage and leg bones and everything is still there. What they do then is pull everything out of the furnace, let it cool, then they put it into what they call a cremulator, but it's actually a large industrial blender. And the bones then are crushed up in this blender, and what you're finally left with in the end, what they hand you at the funeral home, is about 4 pounds of ash and pulverized bone.
Well, folks, I think you may have heard it for some of you the first time on this program, those processes. And I don't know about you, but I want to hear now. I really want to hear about natural burial. I remember seeing television. I mean, I was born in 1953, that is. And I remember watching television when someone would die in the home and the family would dress the body. And literally the dining room or the living room became the place where the person was waked and the family came. And then it was, of course, subsequently later that the funeral process began. So let's kind of rewind things a little bit, and let's talk about the natural burial. I mean, what do you tell people who want a natural burial?
Well, the first thing is absolutely. You can do this, and it can be done in a number of ways. We've been doing this here in Mount Pleasant for around 10 years now, and at our church at Holy Ascension, when someone dies, we just assume that we're going to do everything. Unless the family says otherwise, that they want a hearse or they've already made plans with a funeral director or for whatever reason, and then we'll work with the funeral director. And there are many ways that it can be coordinated with a funeral director. We have very good relationship with both the major funeral homes here in Charleston. And we have prepared many bodies at the funeral home. And you can have a natural burial with the involvement of a funeral director. Some people just really want to have a hearse, mm-hmm. and others really don't care about the hearse or any of the other things. And some people choose cremation because of the expense. And it's the same thing with a natural burial. We don't even discuss money in our parish with people. We assume we're going to do anything. We don't ask for anything in return. It's a family matter. And in our church family, we handle everything ourselves. The second thing that I tell people is get your papers in order. Make sure that all of your paperwork is in order, that you have a will, that you have a living will, that you have a health care power of attorney, and we have created a form that's available. It's in our book, and I can send it to folks, which, for lack of a better term, we call it a death care power of attorney. Many states have these forms now that where a person can name a person to have control of their remains after they die. Mm-hmm. There have been some instances of it can cause problems in the family, arguing over where mom's to go or what sure. dad wanted and these type of things. And it just clears all that up. You can name anyone you want. You can name your brother, your sister, your eldest son, mm-hmm. daughter, or your priest.
Does the person need to be certified in any way?
Not at all.
Not at all.
No,
okay.
Not at all. For instance, in your living will, you're telling the hospital when to pull the plug in simple terms. And the healthcare power of attorney, you're giving someone who knows you the power to enforce that with the hospital. Mm-hmm. This is the same thing. We also have a planning form where you tell the person who you give the power of attorney to, tell them what it is you want to have done.
Okay, let me ask you this, Deacon Mark.
Sure.
I want to go through a couple of quick questions with you.
Okay.
Can you briefly describe the process of preparing the body for burial as you describe it in your handbook?
Probably the best illustration is my mother. When my mother died, she died in our home. She lived with us for 7 years, bedridden for the last five, and she died in her bed. And we called our priest, we called hospice, and they came. We started reading the Book of Psalms. We actually have a service in our book that we've created for this purpose. Lasts just about as long as it takes, about 45 minutes to prepare a body. We removed her bed clothes and covered her with a sheet. My wife and I, as Father John and Jeanette read the Psalms, my wife and I washed her. We started with her hair. The same thing we did for my mother almost every day for 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
We washed her. And then we anointed her with fragrant oil, which is just olive oil with essential oils in it to give it a beautiful odor. The recipes for all that is in our book. We anointed her head to toe with olive oil. Then we dressed her in one of her Sunday outfits. We carried her into the living room where her casket was, the same thing you remember as a kid. We carried her into the living room, put her in her casket, and we held vigil there.
So the family's
in our living room.
So the family's invited, correct?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yes.
And
yes.
Let me ask you this question, because obviously that's a very touching moment and a very sacred moment, I would say.
Yes.
How do people respond to caring for their dead relatives? How did you see that response?
Well, they don't always want to have a hand in it, but they're always invited.
Mm-hmm.
We always let the family know that this is what your father or grandfather wanted,
mm-hmm.
And this is what we're going to do before we ever start. We don't just run in and go
right.
to work.
Right.
And you are welcome to stay and watch. You're welcome to stay and read, or you're welcome to stay and help.
Mm-hmm.
And the response has been... to start, it's not a surprise to me anymore, but it was a great surprise to me when we first started doing this.
Mm-hmm.
To be honest, Father, I never expected anybody but myself to be interested in doing this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just didn't want to be embalmed, so
right.
that's what got me into it. But when people do this, it's such a simple thing. It's what we do for babies every day.
Right, right. Right.
You know, with us baby boomers, it's what we do for our parents almost every
sure.
day.
Sure.
But it's our last opportunity to serve this person. And it's a very powerful, powerful service.
I'm sure it is.
And when people do it themselves, and they just can't stop thanking us. They can't thank us enough. We still have people thanking us for... you know, if it hadn't been for us, they wouldn't have known they could do this.
Mm-hmm. And I would imagine if a priest dies, then the priest will come and do the same thing, I would think. And then,
yes.
then the body, of course, is taken to the church for the services and the funeral service.
Right. The next morning, my sons, her grandsons, rented a van,
mm-hmm.
brought it to the house, and took her to the church for the funeral.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let me give you one or two more questions. That's it, because that's all we have time for. And I'm going to encourage our listeners, of course, to go back and to get your book. But we'll get to that in a minute. What about an autopsy? Let's say there's something that has gone wrong. There's a question about the death. Does the autopsy affect the preparation process?
Well, it could. Be honest, Father, we haven't run into that.
Okay.
Of course, there would be additional sutures and that type of thing. It might not be something that someone would want to do. This question always comes up, particularly about a terrible car accident,
sure.
Let's say. And my response is, it hasn't happened yet, but I can foresee a time when I would just have to say, I can't do this, call the professionals,
mm-hmm.
and let them take care of it.
Sure.
I don't think an autopsy would be that situation for myself. It might be for other people. And we always have to be prepared to say, I can't do this.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
sure.
okay.
Yeah, just be honest.
It's perfectly okay to say, I can't do this.
Yep. Well, one more question. How can our listeners purchase your book? Where do we get it from?
It's available in most of our Orthodox bookstores.
Is it on Amazon as well?
I know Holy Cross Seminary Bookstore has it. St. Mm-hmm. Vladimir Seminary has it. Light and Life, Conciliar Press. You can purchase it from the publisher, the Monastery of St. John. And
right.
We're happy for people to buy it directly from us. We're at achristianending.com.
Mm-hmm.
And we also have a blog there. Our podcast is taking our 8-hour workshop that we have presented all over the country, and we're trying to put it in podcast form so that people don't have to search for a workshop and we don't have to travel
so
much.
Sure. Well, we'd be willing to offer that through the OCN sites as well, so we'll talk to you about that in the future. That sounds
wonderful.
Great. That sounds great. Well, yeah. Deacon Mark, it's been a pleasure to have you on the program. We could talk for hours about this subject, but we appreciate your insight, your passion for it, and the fact that you took the time to go through this entire exercise to share the special things about natural burial. God bless you, sir, and thank you.
And you, Father Chris. Thank you very much.
Was I right when I said before we started the interview that you'd find it very interesting and thought-provoking? I thought so. If you'd like to listen again, you can do that on our website at myocn.net. That's myocn.net. We're a nonprofit outreach, by the way. We depend upon donations from listeners just like yourself. You can contribute safely when you go to that website. Just click on the Donate Now button on the homepage. That's myocn.net. A Christian Ending by Deacon Mark and Elizabeth Barna will be available through our website. We'll have a link to the book on the website at myocn.net. Again, the title of the book, A Christian Ending, and the authors, Mark and Elizabeth Barna. And now here's Father Chris again with a quick bit of information before we leave about a couple of tools for parents when it comes to raising children to understand and love the Lord.
Carissa Giannos is the author of 2 children's books and 2 CDs of The Akathist to the Theotokos. And in full disclosure, I have to tell you, a former parishioner of mine from the Assumption Cathedral in Denver, Colorado. Carissa, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you, Father. How are you?
Excellent. You know, your first children's book, Yes, Christuli Loves Me, I know was written for children K to 2, and it talks about Jesus' love for us through our families and our church. But I understand now that you've come out with a second book. Yes, the Theotokos Loves Me.
So yes, I have.
Tell us about that one.
I'm excited. Yes, the second book is about the Theotokos, and it really is her story from a small child when she entered the temple to the Annunciation of the Archangel Gabriel and how much she really helps and guides us in our lives, how much she really does intercede and talks to Christ on our behalf when we pray to her. The aim of this book really is for children, again, anywhere from preschool to fifth grade, and my aim is to give them a deeper understanding of the Orthodox view of our Panagia.
Mm-hmm.
This particular book has a different iconographer. I found this wonderful iconographer who lives in Kalymnos, Greece, on that island, and she has come to Denver a few times. That's where I met her. She works for Father Christodoulos Papadeus at the Brotherhood of St. George. And she had agreed to do the illustrations for this particular book, and she's fantastic. Mm-hmm. So her work is featured on this as well, and it's
okay.
Quite beautiful.
Good. And where can someone purchase the books? How do you get to them?
They can email me at carissa@q.com, or the books can be purchased. Conciliar Press carries them. Light and Life Publishing carries them. Holy Cross Bookstore carries them. The Director of Religious Education at the Greek Orthodox Archdiocese carries them. So there are a number of places that the books, and the first book and the CD that I have are at various Orthodox churches all around the country, at people's local parishes.
Sure.
So they're
in their bookstores,
easily accessible, yes.
Carissa, you've also worked on CDs of various Akathists to the Theotokos, the first being The Nurture of the Children, the second being The Healer of Cancer. Wow. What inspired you to record those?
Well, the first CD came at the request of my spiritual father and his wife, Father Dimitris Nikolodakis, and his beautiful wife, Presbytera Despina. She handed the booklet to me and said, "You need to record this. People need this for their children." So Father Apostolos, who was the proestamino here in Denver at the time, we recorded that. And since that recording went out, we've had many, many people call me and say, "This is fantastic. I cannot tell you how much this has helped. I pray all the time with this, because what they can do is follow along with the booklet.
Okay.
And so they pray along with the booklet, and they have requested the Akathist to the Mother of God, Healer of Cancer. And that seems to be the one that people want right now. It seems to be a more of a sense of urgency, if you will. So I prayed about that, and Father Apostolos and I recorded this second one. It's really being finished up right now. I am in the studio this week as we speak, finishing up that CD so it can go to print.
Okay, good. And I got to ask you one final question. How about future projects? Because I don't think you're done with this.
I'm not done. No, I have the third book written.
Oh, wow.
So this was going to be, this next one will be a third in the series for children. And the fourth one I'm working on currently.
Very good.
If there's any more CDs, I hope there are. I feel that this is such a blessing, and I so deeply want to glorify the Lord through all these projects and spread orthodoxy. I feel like we live in a world that there are, especially with kids, things are so chaotic in the world, and they're hit with so many different things, and things can be very confusing, that anything that we can get into their hands starting at a very tiny age can only help them and get their faith rooted in Christ.
Excellent, Carissa. We encourage our listeners to go to our OCN Amazon store and purchase these items. And as you said beautifully, Carissa, for the glory of God. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, Father.
And an easy link to our OCN web store is right there on our homepage at myocn.net. And remember, if you've listened before, that any purchase you make through our web store on Amazon generates a donation back to the ministry. As a matter of fact, any purchase you make when you access Amazon through myocn.net generates a donation to the ministry. Again, our website, myocn.net. I'm Mike Trout. Our host is Father Christopher Metropoulos. We're here with you each week. Special thanks as well to our executive producer and anchor. And remember, as you go through each day, to always have faith in what you listen to.